together to on the path to meet, to recognize one another, and to share maps, and to realize that the maps are part of it, but behind the maps, here we are. Here we are.
Here we are. All right, guys, welcome back to the Road to Here.
Look. What's up, guys?
Look. He does exist.
I do exist in the myth, the legend.
Yeah, the sharing maps version of Santa Claus.
Once a year. That's messed up, but understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has been, I think, a year.
Pretty damn close.
Yeah, maybe a little bit over a year. But here we are.
Yeah. I told you guys this was going to happen, and now it's happening. I'm really fucking excited. Number one, because I get to ask all these cool questions. Number two, because I get to see my friend.
And yeah, I mean, likewise,
he's not just a disembodied voice on a telephone.
It's true. We live so close, but yet so far away.
Right. It's like just to the point where it's too fucking far.
Just to swing in and say, hey,
what's up, man?
Yeah.
You had to make a plan.
Yeah. About 42 minutes, I guess. Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
It was exactly 42.
It might've been exactly 42 minutes. Right. So
it's the answer to everything. Yeah. Oh. So as you know, this is the co-host, Mr. David Hall.
What's up?
Glad you're here, buddy.
Yep.
And he agreed to do an episode of this mini series, which I say is near the end, but I don't know.
It might be too good to.
There's so much shit. There's so many people I want to talk to.
Yeah.
So many stories I'd like to hear.
At least something that maybe comes up every so often.
Yeah.
Throw an episode in or something like that. It's been absolutely amazing. The episodes have been great.
I do have an alien episode finally in the works.
That's something you've talked about since day one was doing an alien episode. So
it's going to be a whole new format, all that good shit. Mm. So, all right, let's get to it since we spent like an hour and a half setting up. So I'm going to tell my children not to come bursting in.
Yeah,
that's what they do. So give us a brief intro and remind the people who you are, because they haven't heard from you in over a year.
Definitely, man. So
not throwing shade, but throwing shade.
Well, if anybody's going to do it, I think I'll allow you a little bit of that. My name's Dave. I am 42 years old. I am happily married and have 6 children and a small homestead in Tennessee. So it's been awesome. But yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, that's who I am. And I guess, you know, this kind of came about with me being a creator on TikTok. Yeah. And and here we are. We had a lot to talk about.
We do. We do, in fact, have a lot to talk about. So I've known you, I don't know, it feels like all my life at this point, right?
More, we've known each other longer than we've not.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's fucking true.
For sure.
True, but there are questions here that I'm about to ask you that I don't know the answer to. And I would be lying if I said that some of it was not, just personal curiosity.
Yeah, definitely.
So you covered in our first episode, which you should go stream. It's streaming.
It's a great episode.
Go listen to it. It's great. It's fantastic. Probably the best one. Kind of sound like Donald Trump right there. Yeah. Just throw fantastic.
It's just wonderful. Anywhere.
It's amazing. It's wonderful.
Spectacular.
I don't need any more descriptors than that. All adjectives, all the time. All gas, no brakes. Anyway, you covered your religious background
in
the first episode.
Yeah.
But give us a Cliff Notes version as a refresher.
Yeah, definitely. So I grew up, I would say, probably somewhat agnostic. God was talked about, but wasn't necessarily like a God from the Bible. I mean, I guess it was kind of prevalent. You know what I mean? I guess it was kind of a, you know, there was no specific name talked about, but we talked about God when I was growing up. And I think both of my parents were very much agnostic when I was young, as far as they believed in something. They just didn't necessarily know what. Fast forward, 15 years or whatever. And I think it was in middle school. My parents started going to a Baptist church. And for the first time in my life, you know, I was probably, I think I was 12 or 13, just kind of hitting that middle school age or whatever. And they decided overnight that we were going to be going to church. And that was kind of our thing. And And I remember having some resistance to that in the beginning. The idea, I mean, in true Hall fashion, as far as my parents go, it was kind of all or nothing, you know what I mean? So it was pretty much anytime the doors were open, we were there. And to be 100% like transparent in that, like there were aspects of that growing up that I enjoyed for sure.
Yeah.
Kind of played around with the idea of a lot of those things, for many years, kind of in and out, you know, kind of half in, half out, mm-hmm. you know, lived my
story of my life.
Yeah. lived the lifestyle of, you know, I had my group of friends at school and then I had my group of friends at church, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So, and that, I mean, I think that kind of carried throughout for a long, long time. So
what did you notice at the time that you were straddling the line or moving between the tribes, or was that just how it was?
No, I definitely, there was a moment I think to where they would remind us often.
No,
okay. Like if you were, you know, if you're lukewarm, you know, God's going to spit you out of that mouth.
Oh, yeah. That sounds, what movie was that in, bro?
A little bit overly sexual, but it's kind of weird.
I mean, I hope it's not lukewarm. Yeah,
exactly.
Anyway, what movie was that in, dude? Where he talks about that?
I don't know, about being lukewarm.
Gangs of New York.
Is it Gangs of New
Did
York?
Did you ever see that movie?
Oh, yes. 100%.
I think Bill the Butcher is talking about that. He's got the knife.
Yeah, and he's anyway. Kind of on a rant on that verse. But yeah, it's yeah, I mean, so I definitely, there was a moment to where, you know, I definitely had that struggle of being in fully and being out fully, mm-hmm. for sure. And I think that probably went on through all the way through high school, yeah. you know, playing that game.
So how did religion look for you as you're rounding the corner into adulthood? Cause that is probably about the time that we lost touch.
Yeah, for a sure. Long time. No, yeah. I think, yeah.
We went out, we went wildly different directions there. You got married.
Yeah.
And continued to party for a few more years.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess there was a moment kind of, you know, after high school, you know, my now wife, Kim, and I, we knew we wanted to get married then, you know what I mean? And in true church fashion, like that was the next step. Like that's mm-hmm. what we were supposed to do.
So you didn't get her knocked up first?
No, I mean, that was for, preacher kids. Oh, like okay. That's a horrible joke. No, but it's a, there's a lot of, yeah, that's horrible. I shouldn't say that. But yeah, that was reserved for that. No, but no, that was the next step. And in that, like, I guess the urge and the feeling of what I was supposed to be doing kind of amped up a little bit more for me in that moment, as far as what I was supposed to be doing according to the church, you know what I mean? As far right. as what I was supposed to be, who I was supposed to be, and how I was supposed to do all of it. You know what I mean? And
it's so hard looking back now to think that they really expected you to have a fucking, it, I don't know. It's like they have a full on instruction manual with.
Oh what yeah. You are. Yeah. Especially, you know, it's funny because it's really weird. You kind of see it in social and stuff like that. The idea of the amount of pressure that was put on men, and then, you know, mm-hmm. the idea of amount of pressure that was put on women, and there was, and it was right. completely different, but equal.
Right.
Does that make sense? Right. Yeah, like yeah, it was, you know, we tend to you know, try to, you know, my trauma is better than your trauma. That bullshit. Like, God, that Dude, drives I, you me know, crazy.
The more
that's I come learned, up, I think, in a couple of your episodes. Yes. I think you guys have talked about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because
but it's
there's
true.
Been people, everybody says that. Well, I mean, I didn't have it as bad as some folks. Well, shut the fuck up. You still had it bad. Exactly. You know what I mean? And it's really like,
yeah.
if you feel like you had it bad, then you had it bad.
Yeah, that's
you
know exactly right. Like,
now, you know, there's an unhealthy level of
glorification,
right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think so too. And that, yeah, that's something that does happen, but you know, I can't sit here and say that my trauma was worse than my wife's or, you know, or vice versa either way. Like right. I'm not on either side of that. There's a lot of trauma that's been caused by religion in the church. Just plain and simple, like just that. You know what I mean? So yeah,
that's a lot of trauma, a lot of genocide, a lot of awesome things.
Yeah, awesome things. Yeah. And that's something. Yeah, it's definitely there for sure. But yeah. Okay.
So this next question covers a part of your life that I know very little about, and I'm excited. So tell me about the events that led up to you becoming a Christian missionary, and what was that experience like? And also, how do you feel about it now?
Yeah. Like at this point? Okay. Yeah. That's honestly, I don't think I've talked about this publicly ever. So, you know, me and Kimberly, you know, being married, we talked about the idea of, I guess, being in ministry, whether that was preaching for me or we had talked about missions. You know, I felt a call to people, even in those days. Like, I would still describe it as that. I felt a call. I'd never felt a call to ministry per se. Like, that's how they would phrase it.
Right.
And even then, though, that didn't make sense to me. Like, I didn't feel a calling to a specific place, or when I say place, I mean within the church. You know what I mean? Right. Like, as far as, you know, doing children's ministry or doing like that, this, or
that terminology carries a lot of weight too,
bro.
You know what I mean?
Like, 100%.
When you say I felt called to do something,
or yes, whatever, yeah, it does, and that it really does come, and that's why I kind of hesitated when I said it, is because, like, anytime now I hear somebody say, well, I feel called to this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I mean, I understand that.
It's such a good descriptive term.
It is.
Like,
it is.
You really feel like moved
or whatever to do something.
It fits, man. Like, it really does.
And it does. And, but the weight that, like you said, the weight that comes with that is heavy. And it's when you start saying things, well, I feel called to this because of God. And it starts to pull some of that us part out, you know, that's one place that, you know, the church has always been really good about pulling the you or the person away from it. You know, it's all God, but yeah. So anyways, so I'd always felt a call to people, and, that's something that's always been since I was little. I felt that, like, I wanted to help people.
I get that.
You know what I mean? Like, that was something I've always loved people.
Do you still feel that way?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. I do. So that call of wanting to serve people eventually led us down the road of looking at doing missions. Right after high school, I did a bunch of different missions stuff, as far as, you know, I've done missions as far as, like, going and helping people build churches, like, construction side of it. I've gone, and, you know, that's something that, you know, Kimberly has always felt super called to, you know, the idea of helping children. So that's something that was always kind of on her heart. And that was something that we could do.
You guys didn't get enough of that at home?
Well, eventually, yeah, we did, for sure. Eventually that happened. But yeah, like, so I learned a bunch of things through missions. We've been a little bit of everywhere and met a lot of different types of people. And, I think I would have made a better anthropologist than I would have a missionary, just because I loved people. I should have went a different route.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I always used to say, even back then, I used to say that most Christians or most missionaries should be anthropologists first and then go into missions. Because I feel like it changes the viewpoint.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? About
cultures and
exactly. And then that's something that I realized within the first couple of years of going anywhere that was not here in the United States, right? So anywhere outside of our norm here, I realized really fast that we were going into places and expecting them to change their culture.
Right.
And it used to bother the fuck out of me.
Yeah, it should.
Even then, I just, it felt dirty, right? Like, and I mean, fast forwarding a little bit further, like we had kind of changed churches two or three different times, and the idea of looking for something, right? We just didn't know exactly what we were looking for. Right. You know what I mean? And it wasn't from a standpoint of like, well, you know, what can the church give me? It was, where can we be used? Like, that's kind of the path that we were going. And that mindset seemed super innocent. Right. And during the process of like looking for, you know, somewhere to serve type thing, right? Except in that, there's so much in my day to day that got completely ignored. And it was detrimental.
What
do you mean?
Like what?
I mean, everything, time with my kids, the time spent with Kimberly. I don't think people realize like how much being in ministry, quote unquote, right? Like being a part, and we're not even talking at a level of being paid yet. Like, this is just like volunteering, right? The amount of time and hours that it takes, like it's, and that was working full time, sometimes two jobs, you know what I mean? And then expected to do so much more, you know what I mean? It was, and it gets abused in a huge way. Like it's just not even paid attention to. Maybe maybe not even abused. Maybe it's just neglected and they're not even.
Well, because you're doing it for the Lord.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like it's, that's exactly right. And you'll have the strength. You know, you'll be blessed. You'll be able to do this. Like all these things, right? The further we got, though, in the process, and we had even, you know, outside of our church, had contacted a missions group. And then they kind of use your church as a stepping point, you know what I mean? Your home base, but then you go through this organization, but you have to raise money. And that's something we hadn't experienced yet, right? Like everything else was out of pocket at this point. And
so you have to go around and actually ask people to pay for you to,
to go
spread the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good news.
Yeah. The good news. Yeah. And that was, so we had made it through that process and we had a target of being in Ireland full time. And we had actually, you know, taken a trip over there, taken two of the Lorelei, our oldest, and then our youngest at the time. We had taken them over with us and spent a week over in Ireland with a pastor and trying to see if we were going to be a good fit, you know what I mean? You know, and everything else. And eventually
heathen Irish, they need Jesus. They need
bro,
Southern American Jesus.
Well, it was funny. It was the guy that the pastor there wasn't even American. He was not even Irish. He was Australian, which is, but the Aussies and the Irish like have this weird bond. It's pretty cool. It's really neat. Yeah. Like, a lot of Irish on holiday will travel over to Australia, and a lot of Australians on holiday come to Ireland. It's a weird mix. I think they just,
I think it fits the culture.
No, for sure. Yeah. It's interesting, but so we had done that. We had gotten pretty far into that process. And once we got the green light, we came back and, you know, here we are, you know, we're going to do this. And then it was the process of raising money. You know what I mean? Getting a certain amount of money to be able to go. But like, I mean, in that process, like being 100% transparent and clear, like we were already poor.
Right.
Like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
I want to do this, but I can't afford this guy.
Yeah. Like seriously. Like, and then the amount of money that we were supposed to raise to live in Europe.
How much? Like how much did they expect you to raise?
$8,000 a month.
Like actively? Like continuously?
Continuously. $8,000.
How the fuck are you supposed to do that?
Bro, that would have been like way more money than I made.
You're right.
Even make now.
Yeah, no shit, man. We got like grown-up jobs. Yeah. I don't even make anywhere close to that.
No, not at all. Like that was our number. Wow. And we learned really fast that people loved the idea of missions, and they loved the idea of supporting missions until it became
right
till like they had the ask for money. And so there was some disconnect, and I had a really hard time in that period of like feeling defeat because nobody wanted to give. Right. And then, you know what I mean? The whole nine yards. And I didn't know if like working, I was working two jobs at that time and trying to meet with people. I was meeting with people in coffee shops and stuff like that, talking to them, kind of giving my spiel. You know what I mean?
So like you were selling
ourselves.
You were selling yourself.
So I was whoring myself out for Jesus.
Yeah. So like, you're selling like, yourself so you can in turn go sell Jesus.
Yeah.
To the heathen Irish.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Okay. It was.
That's a bad name, by the way. Heathen Irish.
Dude, that's
a really good bad name. Anyway, okay. Sorry. Okay.
Dibs. But yeah. So we had been going through that process almost a year. And in that time, you know, communicating, like I would have, you know, monthly, like once a month meetings with the pastors at our church and talk about that stuff. And I would do Skype calls with the pastor in Ireland and, you know, doing all those things. And the further we got in the process, the more, for lack of a better word, red flags that were kind of popping up for me. Like, it kept happening more and more. And the more conversations I would have with people, the more disconnected I started becoming.
Right.
It was wild. And I remember I had, you know, a monthly meeting with the pastor of our church, and we sat down and I kind of just poured my heart out. And I was like, look, I'm trying and we are nowhere near our target. You know what I mean? I think at that point I had like $3,000 a month, which is a lot of money.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is these people without me going, like they were giving then. And it all went to an account. You know what I mean? Like, and all that stuff was set up through that organization.
Right.
That was kind of the perk of going through them, is I didn't have to deal with all that stuff. It was kind of a little bit more secure as far as...
Were they for profit?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think they call themselves nonprofit, but you know what I mean?
Right. Like, yeah, I'm just curious.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, to be 100% honest, I'm not 100%, but I would venture to say that
they would take a cut for doing
that. I mean, they have to do something. Right. Like they have paid employees. So I think they're
nobody
labeled
rides
as
for
a
free day.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. It's but yeah, so we had, you know, sat down with a pastor that day, and this ended up being our last meeting because he had told me, he looked at me and he was like, well, you know, before our meeting today, I kind of looked at your tithe records. He looked at my tithe records. He pulled up my tithe records and he was like, you know, I'm seeing that you're not giving your full 10%. And he said, he looked at me and said, and I think he had an idea that we were not like wealthy or poor, like, but we literally lived paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
And
as most of us.
Yeah. Do. And I mean, at that time, I think my main job was in construction. So it was weather sensitive. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, in the wintertime, we could go 2 weeks without working and, you know, the whole nine yards and whatnot. But he basically told me in that conversation, that he didn't feel like we had reached our goal because I wasn't giving enough.
Let me ask you this. Where in the scripture is that? Where does the 10% come from? Is that a number they pulled out of the air? Is that something?
To be 100% honest, like it's been so long. But yeah, I know a lot. There is something out there, and I'm sure somebody will tell us. But like it talks about 10%. Before taxes, you know what I mean? All that stuff. But
so if you're watching or listening to this and you understand, sharingmasspodcast@gmail.com, I want to know, like, where the hell does the 10% come from? I've been told that it was like one chapter in the Old Testament, but it's always just, it was one chapter in the Old Testament. Like, what chapter?
That's
what
book, that's every answer.
Right. Yeah. It's just one chapter in the Old Testament. That's where it comes from. Anyway. Continue.
So we had hit that point and then, I think I went home probably, I was probably 32 or 33 at this time. And like, I'd felt the most destroyed I'd ever felt. like in that moment, like the lowest I'd probably ever felt in my life was right then, because I had the pressure of failing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I felt like a failure, but then I was also fucking mad and he's lucky I didn't choke him out. You know what I mean? So like, I was super angry. Like
That would have put a damper on things.
Yeah. Well, I think we were heading in a bad direction anyway. Yeah. So I don't think it would have mattered too much. Yeah. You know what I mean? Exactly. Full send. But yeah, it's I mean, you've seen me mad over the years. Like it's
a couple times.
Yeah. It's yeah. But yeah. So I mean, that was kind of. I think in that moment, I think I went home and told Kim. Like I was like, I'm done with the mission stuff. Like, like I think I'm done. And oddly enough, that like ended up, that was the end of our like churching. I think that was that literally that conversation kind of sealed the casket.
Well, that leads really well into the next question, Dave. So I'm glad you said that.
Definitely.
So at what point, I'm assuming then, did you begin to kind of deconstruct your faith? You know, what did that look like?
Yeah.
How long of a process was that for you?
Oh, man. Well, I think that was probably 2014, 2015, and it's still happening. No, right. Like, we'll get that part out. No,
yeah,
no.
I guess I get like, you know, I don't have that experience.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't understand that it's an ongoing
process. Yeah, for sure. Maybe. For sure. No, I say that facetiously, but yeah, but funny, not funny, but no, for sure. Like, so yeah, I think it started that moment. Like in hindsight, looking back, it started doing missions. Like as soon as I started doing missions, I started having questions that could not be answered. You know what I mean? And it was hard. But anyways, so we're back to the deconstruction part. Right. But yeah, so in 2015, we did not call it deconstruction. I don't think there was a word for it. Like we just stopped. And the process that we'll say the first two years of that, it was like, you know, I would roll over on Sunday morning and be like, you want to go to church? And Kim would be like, no, not really. And be like, okay. Like, I think that, seriously, I think that's kind of how it kind of started. We just started kind of distancing ourselves from that scene. You know what I mean?
And even stop doing all the extra stuff.
100%. Everything. Literally in that moment, like it just, we kind of stopped it all. You know what I mean? And to be 100% honest, like we didn't talk about it. Me and Kimberly didn't.
Right.
We didn't even, it was just kind of a agreed upon moment of like, I guess we don't go to church anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's fair.
Yeah. And it was literally, and in the beginning, it wasn't like, I was not mad at God per se. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like I had issues with the church. Like that's where my issues started. And I think it was just that. You know what I mean? It was just more being angry at the church. I didn't necessarily have issues with God. I didn't necessarily have at that time, you know what I mean, or have issues with the Bible. I was having issues with people, you know what I mean? And people that were involved, and not even just churchgoers. It wasn't even those people. It was as you worked your way up in the church, you know what I mean? And that's a part of that too. Part of that, you know, me or us leaving the church. I mean, there's a lot more to all that. We could talk about that for hours. like seriously. But, I mean, so there was other things going on too, like as far as, you know, just the way things were being handled, even with the missions, you know, there was a lot to it, but yeah. So I think our deconstruction process, the first couple of years was just distancing ourselves from
that. Did you stop like volunteering and doing all the extra shit?
For the most part, yes. It was anything that had any, and some of it was like, I didn't want to talk to those people.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then I had to be like, to go do something at the church, I would had to have, and it was a small enough church that I would had to interact with people that I didn't, that I had issues with. And I think like, cause if our conversation would have continued, me and that pastor, we would have had issues. You know what I mean? Like it was, I could feel it boiling to that point, but I had been working for years at that point, not to
right.
choke people out. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I was trying not to lose it. So no, but yeah, that's just, I mean, that's just deep transparency there. But yeah, so yeah. our first couple of years, man, it was literally just that. The idea of just not talking about it.
So tell me about the moment where you guys just pulled the plug, the conversation.
Yeah. Like happened.
It, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we had moved to Colorado. Mm-hmm. That was something in this process. And I look at that as a part of our deconstruction, right? Like right. us moving, it was a chance to get away, from what we have known here. I mean, it was the same town we had right. all grown up in, you know yeah. what I mean? Kimberly had been here since, you know, first or second grade. I've been here since, freshman year of high school, you right. know what I mean? Yeah. And so it was time, and we felt like the kids were young enough at the time. If we were going to do it, now was the time. Mm-hmm. And, so we had moved to Colorado, and I remember for me, me and my father-in-law were doing, like a rehab on a house there, mm-hmm. For a lady doing a remodel. And I was there on a Sunday by myself, 'cause he had went to church. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go work on the house today and get a couple hours in or whatever. And 'cause there was going to be nobody else there. So I went right. down there, and I was sitting in the garage taking a break, and I was smoking a cigarette and was sitting, you know, looking out the garage, and there was a church across the street, and it was Sunday morning. So mm-hmm. man, droves of people just coming and going.
Right.
And I remember sitting there and watching those people, you know, just come and go. Come and go, and having a moment of like, what am I doing? Is that me anymore? Is right. it not me? It was very much a very like self-reflection, you know, mm. looking back, like, is that something that I want? Is that something that I even desire?
Right.
And I don't think I had ever asked myself that question.
Right.
You know, what do I want?
Yeah.
Like me personally, I was there by myself. It wasn't for Kim. It wasn't for the kids. It wasn't for, you know, the heathens in Ireland. It wasn't for anybody else but myself.
That's important too, man. And I think we lose that a lot as men in at least American culture.
Yeah, for sure.
And you really, and that's one thing I've worked with the PTSD stuff, is you really have to figure out who the fuck you are before you can be a benefit to anyone,
anything,
including your family, especially your family.
Yeah. The people that you're directly connected with, like right. everything else after that, like as you start to work on yourself, kind of a side note, but as you start to work on yourself, you being a better dad, a better brother, a better son, a better father, a better father, those are all the byproducts of you doing the work on yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
That's it. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But yeah, so I think that was literally the first time that I had ever asked myself that. Mm-hmm. And I remember it's one of those moments that's kind of seared in my brain. I remember the breeze blowing, the temperature. I can right. feel it. You know what I mean? It was a pivotal moment. That night, since the first, we'd only been in Colorado a couple of weeks. We had an opportunity to go on a date, me and Kim. Mm-hmm. And just to spend some time together. And what it was literally we went to McDonald's because we didn't have internet where we were staying, and we sat down to do stuff on the internet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which was fucking awesome though, because we were sitting there, and I remember like we had some fries and a drink, and she was doing stuff on the computer, like yeah. just trying to, you know, us just moving and everything else, trying to catch up.
Wi-Fi, huh?
Yeah, dude, it was awesome, right? Like, so we're sitting there chilling and talking, and I looked at her and I just felt it. You know, I was right. like, I don't think I believe in God anymore.
That's the ketchup.
Yeah. Not knowing, like literally I had no clue where she was at
right.
in this process, like, or where she, you know, we hadn't talked about it.
Right.
Like we literally just, which is not necessarily a healthy thing. I'm not recommending that. Right. Like we just hadn't done it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, but I think what it was is that we were, in hindsight, we gave each other enough space to be able to kind of figure that shit out on our own.
Right.
So it worked out, but I'm not communication. But anyways, I looked at her and I don't think I believe in God anymore, at least not God of the Bible. You know right. what I mean? And she was like, she looked at me and I had no clue what was about to come out of her mouth.
Bracing for impact,
yeah, yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
And as she says, good. I don't think I do either. Like it was just this moment of like, okay, like,
ooh, let's get some nuggies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Can we not talk again for another year? Yeah. Like it was so much. Like I had no clue. I really didn't. I had no clue what she yeah. had, you know, what, where she was, what she was thinking. And she had no clue where I was. Right. We kind of assumed, yeah, you know, since we hadn't been going to church and it hadn't come up, we hadn't talked about it. You know what I mean? And in hindsight, like the kind of the shitty part of that is that like, we didn't talk about it. So therefore, like us pulling some of our older kids out of church, it wasn't really talked about much.
Right.
Which is kind of like in hindsight, like that kind of sucked. Yeah. Like we should have got our shit together and done that part. You know what I mean? But not living in that, but like,
right,
I still remind myself of that though. Then, yeah. And that's okay. Like that's a good thing for me to remember. Like,
for sure.
Because of, you know, in hindsight, years down the road, like,
right,
that's still a thing. Like we should have talked about it more. So, but yeah, so the, I mean, so that
just,
was
you
definitely,
just yanked them. Like you just were like, nope, we're not doing this.
Yeah, 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 for sure. And they still talked to some of their friends and still, right, had people over and stuff like,
yeah,
that. But yeah, like, yeah, that was, yeah.
So where are you now, spiritually speaking? Now, this is an interesting question for me, man, because I went through this whole thing recently, or past couple of years, where, yeah, I've been on a spiritual awakening or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And I didn't have anybody to talk to it about. And I remember I saw Dave in traffic. I'm in the big truck and I pull up next to him at a stoplight and I look down and there's Dave. And I'm like, holy shit. So I honked the horn. I hadn't seen him in years. I honked the horn and he looks at me and then he like shrugs his shoulder, like, what, motherfucker? Like, what do you want? You know what I mean? And then I saw it like hit. You know what I mean? You're like, yeah, oh shit.
That's Will.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then so I called him and we're talking. And then when I called again a couple of days later, and I'm like, man, I've been really into this weird shit. Okay. And then I started talking. I don't even remember what it was, but it was something like mild. And then Dave like unloads. And I'm like, oh shit. Okay. Like this, yeah, we're into alternate dimensions. And,
yeah, exactly. And, all the things.
All the different. It's really cool how you came into like my life at that time. And I know you're in a different place than I am, so that's what I'm curious about is,
yeah,
where,
yeah,
are you now?
Where am I now? I mean, that's, it feels like a loaded question.
Of course it is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, exactly, right? It wouldn't be a good podcast without, right, it. No, man, I feel like over the last probably 5 years,
okay,
I am the least spiritual that I've ever been.
Awesome.
I know that sounds crazy, but I am.
Yeah.
I have not read a spiritual book. I've listened to some podcasts. Like I still listen to Ram Dass's podcast, yeah, Be Here Now. But I a year ago got to the point where I just stepped back. So yeah, I'm the least spiritual that I've been in, yeah, a long time. But that with a caveat, those things are still very much a part of my life.
Right.
They're just not, I'm trying to think of a good way to put this, but they're, for lack of a better term, they're not the forefront of everything right now. Does, yeah, that make sense?
Yeah. And I have been at the point where I'm like super on fire. You know what I mean? Like everything,
yeah,
like I'm reading the Gnostic Gospels for fun, for fuck's sake. You know what I'm saying? Like it's, so I get it, man. It's it is like kind of overwhelming.
It can be for sure.
And it's like, I don't know if it's ever going to like ebb or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Whatever the term is, if it's ever going to lessen, but I kind of hope not because I really enjoy the way it makes me think, and it makes me think about myself and the things around me and all that stuff.
100%. I think for me, in full transparency, like I think I felt myself getting to a point to where it all felt way too familiar, in the sense of, yeah, just my upbringing. And being in
church. I get it,
and
man.
Like
I,
you know, not that, not that spirituality was church, it's different than that.
No, but it's the same principle. And I've noticed that,
yeah,
like it's people wanting community, it's people, some people in some cases it's people wanting an echo chamber.
100%.
It's people that have been wounded by religion.
100%.
In some way, and they are in the woo club because they still get the feeling that they felt,
yeah,
but it's not as structured or loaded.
Yeah. Yeah. No, sense. No, exactly. It's a little bit more comfortable. And, but I think like I definitely went through that phase with spirituality. You know what I mean? Like right. For sure. Learning everything, absorbing it all, putting things into practice and, right. and, you know, doing the spiel, like, you know what I mean? Like yeah. I was doing the thing.
It's a spiel. There's a spiel, dude.
And oh, it's for sure.
The, from what I've noticed about the spiritual community, it is just as full of buzzwords and 100%. Word salad and all the other shit that a lot of the evangelical Christian stuff that I experienced.
No, very much so. Like, yeah. I mean, there's times like, because even like within like spiritual music, you know what I mean? Like right. some of it gives off that churchy vibe.
Yeah,
and it's because, and I get that. Like, I'm not knocking that per se. Like, I'm not like, if you listen to spiritual music, I dig it. I really do. Like, I understand right. it. Some of it's a little bit hard for me just because of the fact that it sounds just like the other stuff, you know what I mean? And there's some like stuff that builds up and you know, right. but yeah, but it's there was a point to where it was blurry for me,
right?
As far as being spiritual, like, you know, Ram Dass talks a lot about like, you know, he could be Richard and then walk into a room and then be Ram Dass.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I started feeling that way. And it was very weird for me.
It would be hard, man. It would be because even in my experience, which I'm like 2 years in now, so I guess I'm not that far into it, but
yeah, yeah.
But, I don't know, man. Like, I don't feel any different. Like, I have different views.
Yeah. 100%.
I look at things differently. I feel differently about things, but I still feel, you know, like I can't, and this is going to sound so shitty and I'm sorry if anybody's listening, but like when people get real far into the woo stuff and yeah. you get like into some of the talk, I just want to make fun of them. Like oh, I still yeah. have that instinctive, like,
for sure.
like, get the fuck out of here,
bro.
Like,
I look at, you know, it's,
but funny. Then again, I'll turn yeah. around and be like, okay with meditating and sitting and, you know, sitting with my feeling and, you know, like, yeah, I'm okay with some of it, but then there's, I don't know. And I don't, that line moves and I don't know where that line is, but sometimes there's a line. I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah. I definitely feel like that line is different for other people. Like
yeah,
it
for
is
sure.
different. Like some people can go pretty deep into it and still be okay. But right. then you do, there is a point where it's just as toxic and just as fucked
oh,
up
sure.
as any of the other religions. For well, sure.
The, recently, man, I seen the story, the lady that was the, astrology, influencer I don't know if it's postpartum psychosis or whatever, but I mean she annihilated her family and killed herself
during the eclipse.
You're right, because she thought the world was ending. Yes.
Yeah. And that's something, yeah, psychosis exists in
yeah, and then, I mean that, clearly yeah. there were other things
yeah,
mentally 100%. Happening.
Yeah.
But the it's no different than someone you know thinking that the rapture is going to happen and doing the same fucking
or
thing.
Or a comet's going to fall and kill right. us all, or we're yeah. about to go join the comet.
Yeah. They like, what was it? Heaven's Gate?
Right yeah. Now? Yep. Exactly. That's yeah.
Single-handedly ruined all the sales for the Nike Cortez.
For sure though.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, it's a, you know, and Ram Dass, it was funny because I remember early in my venturing, as far as like, we didn't even really talk about that either. Like how I kind of got to where I am. Like once, mm-hmm. like, and what's funny is our story is kind of similar in that is I remember right before we moved to Colorado, I had come across a video of a guy talking and I thought it was a preacher.
Right.
And I had been listening for about 15, 20 minutes. And then he would say some stuff every so often and be like, what the hell? Like,
yeah.
Who is this guy? And then, so I looked him up. And that it ended up being Alan Watts.
Right.
And a lot of his old stuff, like when you listen to some of his old lectures, it comes off very preachy.
Because he was an Episcopalian preacher.
That's exactly right. Like, and the way you talked, like when you gave a lecture in that time frame, it all kind of came off that way, whether right. they were, you know, preachers or not. But that was kind of the model they used. And so I went, you know, down that rabbit hole to the point of, you know, going to the local library in Colorado and getting handfuls of Alan Watts books and,
wow, yeah.
and going down the rabbit hole fast. And eventually, you know, worked my way through Alan, which inevitably led to Ram Dass eventually, but right. I went through some other teachers in that process, kind of went a little bit of everywhere,
right,
and was just thirsty.
Yeah,
I was yeah. thirsty, bro. It's crazy. I wanted it all, and I wanted to learn about it all. I wanted to, yeah. I guess in the beginning, at a certain point, it was like I was really trying to disprove the things that I had learned. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I felt like that's what I wanted to do.
I've seen like, that doing this show too. Like, yeah, there's a especially among the deconstruction community, there's a very much a fuck you attitude. And it's a trauma response. Yeah, for sure. Is. In my opinion.
Like, yeah.
From the outside looking in.
Yeah.
It's like you get obsessed with proving that bullshit wrong.
Yeah. And very much so.
Because I'm sure there's a lot to it that you fucking probably feel duped.
Yeah. You know I mean, 100%. We've taken something that I dedicated my life to literally verbally said that, like I dedicate my life to this.
Which is creepy.
Yes, very. But going from that to disbelief. Actually, I think I sent you the song. I have no clue. I can't remember the artist's name, but where she said that, you know, I didn't lose my faith. I threw it away.
Like, oh, dude. It's
what is that?
Like, she's local.
Yeah. I sent that to you.
She's a Nashville artist. Good. Keep talking. I'm gonna look it up.
No,
people need to hear back. She's amazing.
No, but the idea, that line literally like said so much to me. The idea of, because that's what, go ahead.
Candy Carpenter is her name.
She's out of Nashville.
I don't think she's from here, but she's based out of Nashville now.
Nice. But yeah, if you guys haven't checked that out,
like, she's really good.
She's on TikTok and she's a little bit everywhere.
Yeah, a lot of religious trauma in her.
Yeah,
it's good shit.
No, for sure. But so she had said in that, I didn't lose my faith, and I've been told that, like, literally, I've had people say that to me.
Right.
So you've lost your faith. No, I threw it away, but yeah. So we kind of got on a tangent. I kind of forgot where we were and all that. But yeah.
Well, you answered the question.
Did I? Okay. Yeah, okay. As long as I did that, we're good.
So. You and Kim have been married longer than any person I know. I'm total disclosure. I'm on my second marriage, and you've been married longer than I have collectively.
Yeah, 21 years.
Yeah, it's and I respect you guys both, and I try. You know, it's like relationship goals.
Yeah, yeah, I understand that. Yeah,
and so what's the secret to you? What is the secret? And does spirituality play a part?
Okay, man, I wish I really do wish there was a overall just like one liner that I could like throw out there for
sex.
Yes, it is a big part of it for sure.
That's the secret.
No, I'd be lying if I said no. That is a big part of it. And sorry, kids, if you're listening, but yeah, it's that is.
Sorry,
yeah,
guys.
It's all right. They love all of us, I think. But yeah, it's for me and Kim, like I've always had a hard time explaining mine and Kim's relationship. Just for the simple fact that it's rare in the sense, like,
for sure.
Like, we've been together since we were 15. We have the whole high school sweetheart thing.
And you know, and it's funny, man, like from like as a friend in that time, like a lot of us were like, what the fuck is this girl?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because she was nothing like we were.
Nothing.
And like not
complete opposites.
Bro. Yeah. And like first time we met her, we're like, okay, this is weird.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And then 20 years later, you're still married to her. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing. It's me and Kimberly. I've always prided mine and Kim's relationship on being able to communicate, which that's something me and you've talked about.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's communication, I think, is probably one of the biggest things, and not getting comfortable in our communication has been huge, because like it never fails. The moments that I feel like, man, it cannot, with like, I couldn't be more transparent with this woman.
Right.
Like then it happens again.
Yeah.
And again, it keeps happening, because like we're having the conversations and I'm not the same fucking person I was even a year ago.
Right.
So guess what? We got new shit to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, like, you definitely, I've learned that just in my experience with my wife And you know, like you do have to be constantly vigilant. Evolving and constantly yes. understanding that the person yes. you married is not going to be the person that you mm-mm. end your life with.
No,
it'll be like two totally different people.
No,
and there'll be probably 15 or 20 people
100%
in between, you know, yeah, marriage 100%. And death.
No, it's been, I guess, communication. An experience. The experience mm-hmm. is allowing yourself to experience it, mm-hmm. to actually allow yourself to experience that shit. That's the pain, the suffering, the hard times, the great times. You know what right. I mean? All of them, all the fucking experiences, and not just allowing yourself to experience them, then being able to talk about that shit with your partner or with your wife or your husband, being able to have a conversation about what just happened, whatever right. it was. Like, I think communication's been a big part of that. And grace, I mean, fuck.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
God. My wife's got a lot of grace.
Yeah.
Like, it's there God for sure. Her. Yeah, for sure, bro. It's, but yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. And it's something that, one thing that I've really practiced, this is just me, right? I don't know what Kim... I don't even know. Yeah, I have no clue. Anyways, for me, all that to say that I'm just talking for me now. Something that I've noticed in men, when men get together and talk about their wives, something mm-hmm. that happens, or when they're talking about their partners, their girlfriends, whatever. And it's just something that has happened since we were young. You know right. what I mean? I witnessed yeah. my dads have these conversations. I mm-hmm. witnessed our friends all through life. Like this right. shit is still happening. So it's definitely on our end, the guy's end. Not just talking, not that they talk bad about their wives. It's not that, but they talk in a way to make other men feel comfortable. Does that make sense?
Oh, for sure.
Do you see what I'm saying? And that's something that I've really over the years tried to not practice is that, hey, I'm not going to hold back and telling you how badass my wife is because she is.
Right.
And that, yeah, just that, I guess, you know, yeah. does that make sense? Like, no, you see that,
I,
you know,
actively, you've seen that. Yeah. We both worked in blue collar shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I actively try to, when I'm talking to my buddies at work, cause we'll do like conference calls, right? We're all driving.
So yeah.
We'll
yeah.
just like three way.
Yeah.
Just sit around bullshit. You know
yeah.
And, you know, one guy will talk about, well, you know, this gonna buy these tools and stuff, but I can't tell my old lady, and, you know, all that shit. You know what I mean? And
same conversations we've been hearing.
Yeah, dude. So I'm always like, or you know, you could not bullshit her and maybe
just talk to her about it.
Yeah, bring talk it. To her about, hey, I want to buy this tool.
Exactly,
it would be helpful in this, and that's something like I've caught myself in that. You know what I mean? Like
all
I catch,
of us have.
Yeah, I catch myself that. Like, fuck, I can't tell her about this. Like,
remember. Yeah, exactly.
And. Man, it just works out so much better when you just fucking talk.
Yeah, dude.
100%. Like, so much better. Like, my wife and I had, she said something to me before you got here that, like, I've been wanting her to say for, like, a long time.
But, yeah.
And you know what I mean? And we just had that moment where she said it, and I was just like, yeah, I'm like,
thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, it is. And it's, yeah. So, you know, that's why I caveated earlier about the communication. Like, cause it is important. It's, right. it's one of the most beneficial, hardest, like gut wrenching things to do ever.
For sure.
Because it's not easy.
No.
That's the thing.
No, and it's uncomfortable as fuck.
Dude, that's right. Like, and this is somebody I've been with longer than I've been without.
Right.
Like, and I still feel that in my gut every time I bring something to the table.
But you know what? I feel like it does get easier.
It does, for sure. It gets easier when you have the understanding. And I also understand that not everybody has the relationship to where they feel comfortable enough to be able to go to their partner and yeah. say everything.
For sure.
And so I'm not putting it in that context that, you know, but to caveat that, like the idea that it does exist being able to do that, but it takes time and the right person. Mm-hmm. And in that too, like, you have to be the judge of what you're giving out. Like it yeah, still comes sure. back to you, you for know, sure. like we always say, like it comes back to you, and you have to be the judge of how much you let out with your partner and how much you feel like you can say in that moment. And picking those moments is just as important as the words that are said in that conversation, because there's good moments and there's not good moments to be able to have certain conversations. And like something that I practice with Kim is I'll, you know, say it's through text, I'm at work and something comes up in my brain and I want to mention it. Or if it's something kind of heavy, I'll text her and say, transparency ? And
she's like, fuck.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Like, and I think we've talked about this a little bit, but the idea
for sure, dude.
Yeah. And like, so I'll text her and be like, transparency and, you know, And 99.9% I've gotten, you know, I'm good for it.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's just that, but yeah, it's been good.
It's so communication is key.
Yeah.
We've established this. Well, guys, we are going to call it for this episode, and we're going to come back next week with a two-parter, because I feel like there's a lot more conversation to be had here.
I like it.
And it would be, I don't want to punish you people with a two-hour episode.
it would be long.
So
I love it.
We'll be back next week or next episode. I don't know. Anyway, there'll be more. So just hang out. But thank you for listening. Check us out. We're streaming everywhere. YouTube. Go to YouTube.
Yep, check it out.
We need some love on YouTube, man. So
I mean, look at us.
Look at us. We're very fucking lovable.
Exactly.
Especially him. But anyway, so thank you guys. We will catch you next time.
Peace.